Hello and welcome to You May or May Not Like It. Today we're going to discuss the new DC Comics movie release, Wonder Woman. I'm your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Mike. You can find on Twitter at Review and Roast. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Review and Roast, Instagram.com/Review and Roast, Instagram.com/Star Wars Tabletop for our newest edition. And I think we're on Friendster at R&R, maybe. I don't know. So, anywho.
That one is Review and Toast.
Review and Toast, correct. It was a misspelling. I didn't catch it, and now we're screwed. So, before she was Wonder Woman, she was Diana, princess of the Amazons, trained warrior. When a pilot crashes and tells of a conflict in the outside world, she leaves home to fight a war to end all wars, discovering her full powers and true destiny. Dun, dun, dun.
I like how you announced it like no one's ever heard of Wonder Woman before.
I read the synopsis for every movie we do.
No, I was talking about when you said Wonder Woman. Like,
people don't know.
Yes. Jurassic Park. I got nothing.
You're right. You don't. That's true. Nailed it. And done. It's actually kind of funny because I actually saw it, a few hours ago now at this point, with Michael Crystal and Jeffel. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff literally got stuck to, sitting next to, the DC superfan who talked to him for, the whole time before the movie. And the second the movie was over, I overheard him just rambling to Jeff about the history of Wonder Woman and what he's projecting for the next movie, and I was like, whoa, boy.
Yeah, it didn't sound fun.
Tomorrow when you go to work, Jeff's going to be like, I got a lunch date. Don't ask.
I know, right? But, it was, I'm sure everyone's, like Brian's pointed out, everyone's heard of Wonder Woman. Everyone's been looking forward to this, I would assume, just as much as they do any other comic book movie. Although, being at DC, they don't seem to come out as often as Marvel.
And definitely aren't as liked as Marvel.
Yeah, I don't know. That's super annoying to me.
Just not around here. I mean, we're fine with it, but Scott and I were talking about it earlier that we seem to be the only three people in the country that actually like Batman vs. Superman.
Right.
Which is weird.
Especially because everyone who hates it has probably seen it more than I have.
Yeah.
So you can hate it all you want, but you watch it every other weekend.
And that's where Wonder Woman spawned from at this point.
Correct. Yes. Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, I'm sure everyone has seen and hated her from Batman vs. Superman, but now she's on the screen for herself in probably one of the best casted roles since, Iron Man originally?
Yeah, I'll give it that.
I mean, there was a lot.
At this point in time, I'd probably give it that.
Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of these movies are cast pretty well, surprisingly well. What's his face? Ant-Man? I didn't think he was going to play.
He was really good.
He played it pretty well, but
I mean, most of the casting is very good, so to say that this is probably the best one since the first one is a big statement, and I agree with it. Because I don't think at this point in time any of the casting has been horrible.
Right, I agree.
Honestly. I mean, there's not one in particular where I'm like, ugh, that was not a good choice.
I wasn't the biggest fan of the Spider-Man from Civil War until I saw the movie. But in the previews, I was like, why are they changing it
me
again?
Either. Yeah, me either.
But after I saw it, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, the kid's going to do all right. I'm still salty pants about the whole, he's 16 again. I've been watching these Spider-Man movies for 20 years now, and the guy's 16 years old every time they start a new franchise.
Just mad because you're getting older.
Well, in any type of those situations, I mean, it's a adolescent guy on TV, but in the comics and all the stuff, it's a man, a grown man at this point. He's not still in high school. He was out of high school in the 60s. They put him in college taking pictures or some shit. You know what I mean? So it's not like his high school days are still running amok in the comics, because that's not the case.
Well, even Toby What's-His-Face got out of
Right, and I was fine with that, because they actually went and became grown-ups for a minute in the second movie, which was cool.
Right, and then you got the weird third emo goth terribleness that was Ugh.
Which one?
With when?
He got all like that. I don't want to talk about that movie at all. That was the when they ruined Venom. I'm not too happy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
We should talk about Wonder Woman. So let's start.
Yeah, right. Let's let Brian talk because he's just kind of ping ponging back and forth here.
You're talking about Spider-Man. And
he doesn't like the new seating arrangement for the podcast.
I'm aware.
I'm actually good with it, to be honest. It's the same as it always was. Just a smaller table. It's more intimate.
Mm.
Ew. Dude. All right, so Brian was the first one, right?
Was it
Or were you the first one?
Was it the word intimate or the...
In theory, I saw it first, but we both saw it on Friday just separately.
All right.
Saw it at 7. I saw it at 7:05.
Yeah.
All right, well, Captain 7:05, why don't you talk about Wonder Woman?
I had mild expectations because I didn't know anything about Gal Gadot when Batman vs. Superman was getting ready to come out, but she probably had one of the better... Her entrance in that movie as Wonder Woman was probably one of the highlights of that movie, so I was kind of like... As I've watched Batman and Superman a few times, like, it's a good movie, but it's not the best by any means. And really, if you take Batman and Superman out of it, it's probably not that great. But that's beside the point. I was pretty...
Batman vs. Superman, so if you took Batman and Superman out of it, it would be horrible.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm forgiving of its flaws because Batman is in it.
Oh.
If it was, like, say, a Green Lantern movie, I'd be like, I don't know about this one. Anyway, not the point. Point is, I was excited for this movie, but I also felt like DC's track record's not the best in the last few years. I don't know where they're going with this shared universe because it feels like Marvel had a plan and it feels like DC is planning as they go, which is kind of not really the best. But
right. Well, they're trying to catch up to the Civil War.
I wanted this movie to be amazing. It was pretty amazing. It was actually amazing. I'm just going to go ahead and say amazing. Because it almost wasn't even a superhero movie except for the fact that she was in it.
Oh, no, it was just a good movie in general,
right.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, superheroes are not superheroes. And there's only been a few superhero movies that would have been great movies in general. You know what I mean? So, and this is definitely one of them. This is probably the best one DC's put out as of right now, by far.
Since their attempt at a shared universe by a large margin... I mean, I still feel like the Nolan Batman movies are the gold standard.
See, and that's the hilarious thing because those are not my favorite at all. I think Christian Bale's horrible.
I'm not even going to talk anymore. That's just so blasphemous. And
he's horrible.
In life, in that movie,
in the movies. Bruce Wayne, the movies are decent.
No.
He is not very good at any part of any function of the character he plays. He is by far, in my opinion, one of the worst casted actors for a role.
All right,
fact.
I'm just going to...
You can.
I'm going to just gloss over all of that.
You can.
That is...
So, Wonder Woman is what we're here to talk about, so...
It's all DC. We gotta.
I know.
They finally hit one out of the park, I guess, so...
Well, here's the thing. I remember Brian... I
was truthfully disappointed that Linda Carter wasn't playing Wonder Woman again.
I was surprised there was zero cameo.
Yeah.
With all the Amazons and whatnot, and she's on Supergirl all the time. Well, not all the time, but she's got a pretty regular part now on Supergirl.
Really?
Yeah, she's the president of the United States.
Hmm.
She's not as herself, but she's...
Duh.
But yeah, she's actually... and she's actually made a few... you remember, though... Have you seen her on there before or no?
No.
Oh, there's a... Well, she's the president, and she comes in, and Supergirl's like, oh my god, like your plane or whatever, like this is such a nice plane or something. Oh, she's like, oh, you should see my other jet. You know what I mean? Like the Wonder Woman jet. You know what I'm saying? But there's right. Like she always jabs a couple like just FYI, I'm pretty awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like it's hard to explain, but it's funny especially if you know who Linda Carter is, which young people right now probably don't even know that was Wonder Woman.
And they don't know that she has IBS either.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. What is going on with this fucking show today?
I don't know.
True story. Anyway, back to Wonder Woman.
You know what I didn't know because I just didn't know. I didn't know Robin Wright was in it. I kind of thought she was kind
of
awesome.
Dude, first of all, her and Hippolyta, her mother, who I think that was Connie Nielsen or something.
That is
those
correct.
Two are the two... best acting jobs in that movie, I think. I mean, if you want to take out Chris Pine and Gal, those two were amazing. I mean, by far. I mean, perfect, in my opinion. Robin Wright was super awesome.
Yeah.
That's I'm going to stick by that easily.
I was happy to see Lucy Davis in this movie, to be honest with you. She played Chris Pine's secretary.
She was funny.
Oh, yeah, she was funny.
She was the original Pam Beasley on the original Office, although her name was not Pam Beasley on that show.
I knew she looked familiar. I couldn't place her.
Yep. She got that weird, short, red-headed wig. She looks nothing like her character from The Office, but yep. She is always great.
So. She was also Shaun of the Dead, I believe.
She was. Yep. She was also in a couple episodes of Marin as Marin's agent.
Yep.
But Marin has moved on to Glow, coming out on Netflix this summer.
So basically, Wonder Woman, which I'm not going to say this, you know, we're not going to spoil anything here, but it runs down
a
short history of her childhood on the island, and her, you know, her wanting to train as a warrior and her mother trying to block it, and eventually she starts training. They give you a little back history on the gods, you know, Ceres and Zeus, and how that all came to be, and why the island is, you know, protected from the rest of the world, and how Chris Pine happens to accidentally fly into it with the German army following him close by. And from there, it's the pretty standard, you know, she saves him out of the water because his plane crashed. They want to kill him. She says, you know, she sticks up for him kind of thing. And next thing you know, she steals the God Killer and the shield, and she takes off with Steve Trevor. And they go, you know, the deal is she will get him off the island, and he brings her to the front line so that she can end the war.
Well, I think you semi-glossed over the what you probably should hit on a little bit is what her mom kind of told her growing up about the God Killer
going
and stuff. Only in the fact that as a child she was forbidden to train initially because her mom wanted to keep her safe, and they were always worried about the return of Ares, this, that, and the other thing. And Robin Wright comes to her defense and trains her in secret, and they get caught, and there's a whole thing. And that's part of the whole Robin Wright rules the first half hour of this movie.
Yep.
You know what I mean? While they're on Themyscira.
What
the heck is it called again?
It's close. Close enough.
I forgot the name of it. But yeah, so... And in all that, her mother then explains to her the whole gods thing, and when Ares is back, he's what causes men to go crazy and fight wars and whatnot. And being on their paradise island, they don't get the paper. So when Steve lands, he's like, yeah, P.S. Like, there's millions of people getting killed. There's 27 countries at war. Like, it's the world war to end all wars. And now everyone's like, what the F?
Yeah.
So basically, and then that's what prompts her to completely disobey her mother and attempt to flee with Steve to save the world, basically. Because she thinks she's going to go find Ares and kick him in the pants.
Well, and that's where you get Mike's favorite part of the movie, when she's trying on civilian clothes, yet trying to carry around the God Killer sword.
That is one of the best parts of the
movie. It is pretty funny. And that's also where the secretary comes into play. And she's like, oh, what do you do? She's like, oh, I'm his secretary. She's like, oh, what's a secretary? Oh, I do what he says, and I go where he tells me to go. Oh, where I'm from, that sounds like a slave. She's like, I like this girl.
Yeah. Now she has a lot of good lines.
I really one of the things I liked a lot about this movie was obviously it's not set in current times. So you know, back then, this is before women were able to vote. Women were more the, you know, to be seen, not to be heard kind of thing. Oh, so
not even to be seen,
right? Yeah. So she is obviously not used to this type of society, and she oversteps all the time, and just, you know, stands up for herself, the powerful woman figure, which is fantastic.
Well, the thing that made that extra amazing was it wasn't like she was doing it in defiance of customs. She's just, that's how things are where she's from. She just right. walks around. She goes into rooms without asking. She just basically has the run of wherever she is. So it wasn't like she's like, oh, fuck these guys. I'm going to go in there and show them. She just walked in like, hey, guys, what's going on? And they're like, what is she doing here? She's like, I don't know. What am I doing here? I'm here. Let's do stuff. And it was like, wasn't trying to be funny and wasn't trying to be forceful. She's just like, wait, everybody's not like this? What the hell?
Right, yeah. It truthfully shows what times were pretty much like, which is one of the reasons I liked Mad Men so much, because it's a different time and they accurately portray the way society is.
You just want a mustache from that era.
I do. I'm gonna do that soon, I think. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that was one of the cool, because I mean, they could have, and this is what I feel like they would have done 15, 20 years ago, they would have candy coated all that and made it like the kid friendly, you know, it's a Wonder Woman movie, but you know, it's darker. It's,
yeah, but I think they did it in a way that didn't really, it didn't linger on any feminist issues by any means. So, but it did bring to light that, you know, these guys are pretty stupid because she's the one reading all in 100 different languages.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That part is actually awesome because the general still dismissed her after she was the one and she said, wait, am I the only person in the room that knows those two languages?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the big general idiot, we'll just call him, is like, oh, see her out of here. Like, she's stupid. And then the other general or colonel, whoever, is like, well, shouldn't we probably have her read this first before we throw her out? Because nobody else can. Right. And the general's like, par, 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 with his mustache. But
hey,
I don't know. It was just...
let's not go mustache bashing here.
Yeah. It was just one of those things where that the way they did that was well done and not, I don't even want to say like offensive or anything, but not in a way where it was horrible or too lighthearted either. You right. know what I mean? Yeah. So it was just right, in my opinion, when they hit most of those issues, to be honest.
Agreed.
Even just walking down the street when, you know, her leg comes flying out of her, her front of her coat, she's got a coat over her outfit and, you know, her, she kind of opens it up or something at one point in time, and he's like, whoa, you know what I'm saying?
You
like,
ain't wearing any pants.
You can't show knees, lady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. A lot of those parts, they were subtle, but they were there, but it was
just kind of remind you that it's a different time.
Yeah, exactly. And it was light enough, but not heavy either.
I guess for me too, like, I know I heard Brian mention a few times that a lot of the critics, we're harping on the ending, and then I overheard other people talking about other things that they felt were, I don't want to say wrong, but they were disappointed in. And one of the things that was brought up, not to me specifically, but in my vicinity, was the whole like, oh, you know, that she had to have all this help from all these guys, and, you know, she could have just easily done all this stuff on her own. And I was like, oh, that's kind of lame, because I heard all that before I saw the movie. But when you see the movie, like, she does everything on her own.
Yeah, it's pretty much, these guys are pretty much like carrying her fucking purse.
Yeah.
I mean, so the equivalent of that.
I didn't quite understand that.
Yeah. I'm just happy that Mullet got lines.
What?
Oh, yeah.
The Scottish dude.
Yeah, from what's it?
Oh.
That was Snatch. Mullet from Snatch.
Yeah.
Snatch.
Yep.
Yeah, he...
I liked him. He had a small role, but he was...
Yeah, the team was obviously a diverse team as well, and so which made them all misfits for the time
because it wasn't sanctioned by
the military. Basically had like one American white guy, then you had the Scottish guy, the Indian, Native American Indian,
right,
and then what was he, oh, the other guy was a Sumerian, and then obviously Diana, who's a woman and shouldn't be anywhere near the battlefield right now,
right,
because, you know,
is that what these women wear to battle? No.
No.
They don't see the front line.
Oh, we rest on our principles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a... And we might as well... Let's just cut to that right now. I mean, enough story time, I think. I think we can just start talking about this action.
Donuts.
Because the initial training scenes and when she's sparring or doing her final training... where she was basically testing herself to whatever defeat her aunt is Antiope?
I never actually caught it. I think that's her name,
is Antiope. But it's not Antiope. It would be Aunt Antiope.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. So she's the greatest Amazonian general in the history of the Amazons, yada yada. And basically, she was training Diana to be better than herself, what have you. So in her final battle, she's going after everybody, and it's all this whatever. She finally gets to her aunt, and they do battle. She semi-bests her and takes a glance towards her mom, and her aunt like basically kicks her right in the chest like, hey, don't be turning your head because this battle ain't over. So she starts whomping on her, and then she goes with the cuffs to like block the final blade strike that her aunt's about to like crack down on her noggin, and like lets out that sonic boom.
Sonic boom!
You know, well, they show it in the trailer, but no, it gives it no justice, because when you're watching that movie and that happens, you're like...
Like the whole crowd goes silent?
Oh, yeah.
And everyone on screen goes silent?
Yeah.
The people in the next theater kind of went a little silent?
Yeah, no, that's... That there's like three action sequences that were standout-ish, and that's the first one, in my opinion.
That was a good one.
And that's right before, basically, she goes to meet or see Steve, because she runs away because she feels bad because she just hurt her aunt. She wasn't trying to, like,
right,
you know.
Because her aunt actually was bleeding. But right. She didn't know she could do that. She discovered it.
Right, and that there. Was the problem is, and as you find out more in the movie, her mom didn't tell her shit.
Right.
So she's accidentally discovering that she's not like a regular Amazon person. Man. You know, the Amazons are insanely strong and adept warriors and so on and so forth, but they are not Wonder Woman.
Right.
Because
she is.
She's got stuff.
She's kind of a god.
Yeah. So therein lies the problem with not telling her what she is or what she's capable of, because she's accidentally finding things out, which is pretty awesome either way.
Which I feel it's kind of like the equivalent of the Spider-Man, go web, go.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
Just trying to learn how to use your abilities because you don't know what you can do. So, yeah, she does figure out along the way more and more, especially once she talks to mm-hmm. her, I guess, uncle.
Yep.
But
yeah, getting to the the end of the movie and all of that stuff. I mean, you obviously know, even though the beginning of the movie was all basically just a great action drama, take out superhero, but it is a superhero movie, and they predefined a specific main villain in the very beginning of the movie. I mean, it was 10 minutes into it, and basically, FYI, Ares is the main bad guy. They say it right in the beginning. Now, whether or not you're going to know who this human is, well, or who this god is as a person, you won't. Well, they allude that Ares, it could be anybody, and it could be, and his influence knows no limits, so it could be anyone among you. So that part is secretive throughout most of the film, but you know there's going to be a boss battle. There just is. So I don't know why people were upset about that.
I don't know why people felt that it ruined the movie.
Yeah, I thought it was... See, the first time I watched it, I thought that it drug on a little. The second time I watched it this morning, I actually thought, actually, it's a lot shorter than I remember it being the first time, and it was literally 2 days ago I saw it the first time. So... I'm in agreement more with the fact that the ending is actually just fine. Like, I don't have any... I didn't really have a complaint to begin with. It was just... Yeah, it was a cookie-cutter superhero boss battle ending. I mean, but the second time I watched it, it wasn't exactly as cookie-cutter as I was initially thinking. That's all. Anyways, that's all I got for that.
Would you care to comment, since you're the one that brought it up to me?
I haven't seen the movie twice, but I stand by the fact that the end battle, while possibly necessary, was just kind of a step down. Because, A, when she comes out of the trenches like Kirk Douglas in Paths of Glory,
awesome,
it's super epic. Like, that's like that, like I said, a good movie of this genre needs that holy shit moment. Like when Batman's perched on the ledge with the cape flowing, or when Iron Man's walking away towards the camera mm-hmm. in Afghanistan and the fucking things go behind mm-hmm. them. You need that, like, moment. That was like the main epic moment.
That the Iron Man one is the that's like at this point in time. There's like three scenes in that Iron Man movie that are like super iconic, and this movie has three scenes like just like that too.
Yeah, and
one you're talking about is there ain't one better than that right
when
now.
She goes full blown Anhel, I was like, yeah. Oh my god! And to me, that scene blows away pretty much every epic scene.
No, that
of
whole
these kind of movies.
Don't forget that whole in action recent sequence memory. Is redonk. From the time she climbs out of that bunker, it goes all the way till she destroys the clock tower, and it's nonstop like 20 minutes of her kicking dicks.
Spoiler
for me.
Well, I mean, we know she's there's plenty of trailer action where she's like literally. It, the trailers do the action in this movie no justice at all, in my opinion.
For me, it hit best thing ever levels when she stopped in the middle of the minefield, knelt down, and just put the shield up and just was blocking just machine gun fire from every angle. And all of a sudden, you just see one head after the other pop up out of the foxhole going, oh, shit, we can run on this thing this time.
Right.
Finally, we've been down here for a year. And then it just starts pouring out soldiers. I'm like, that is fucking the greatest thing I've ever seen. Everything after that, like, felt like, oh, it's cool. Because that moment was like, oh, shit. Like, that'd be like Superman catching a building and going, blick.
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. That whole action sequence, in my opinion, is one of the better ones I've seen in a long, long time.
No, I agree. And it was definitely the best battle of the movie, but I would not discount the final battle at all. I mean, I only saw the movie once, too, but I was expecting this piece of shit fight at the end, and I don't feel
that. Well, they gave you the piece of shit fight at the end, and then they gave you the
real
one. See,
I don't even feel that. I just, because when that one ended, I was like, that should have been longer, because,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, that dude cracks a few more gas pills up his schnozzle, and this could be an awesome fight. I thought that was, you know, going to be, but, yeah, the final battle, I was, I don't know. I was pretty pumped, and especially when he was just like floating there, and then the armor starts forming around him.
Right. No, I like the way
he takes his fingers and just
that's actually
dope. Come on,
that was actually
fucking kind of awesome.
That was like seriously metal. Seriously, this guy's like literally like going crazy. But the way they tied that scene in and had the Chris Pine and the gang working on another angle because. They sort of split off towards the end because Diana becomes basically disgusted with all of humanity because they're just all pieces of shit, which is almost, I almost just quoted her in the movie. Like, she literally, like, and she thinks that everything should be done, and now she just, you know, she can't believe it. And her mom told her a thing in the beginning of the movie, and then she references again later. Like, Diana, if you, like, these people, humanity doesn't deserve you. And then she actually references that later and says my mom was right. So I think, and then they tie in what everybody's doing, and while she's in her epic battle, she notices everyone's still trying. There are some people trying to do good, and that's what like motivates her, and that kind of gives her, you know, that's the whole thing with like Wonder Woman, I guess, is like, you know, she's supposed to be compassionate and all of that, and I feel like that's how she goes from the naive, you know, Native Island girl to the Wonder Woman we have today now. And this is basically her recant in that story, and that's all.
I think we should shift gears a little bit here.
Why was
and
part?
Talk about Ludendorff, Danny Houston.
Yeah.
He was awesome as that. Cause at
this, oh, no, that, guy, when that guy's a straight German.
When they finally showed up from Themyscira to London, they were getting ready to sign a peace treaty to end the war anyway, and now Danny Houston plays General Ludendorff, I believe it was General Captain, one of the two.
Colonel.
And he...
No, I don't know. I'm just making it up.
He was the General Captain and a specific one.
Yes. And...
Sergeant Major.
I, for the life of me, can't remember the...
Dr. Poison?
Yeah. What was Dr. Maru?
Maru.
He was working closely with a chemist to develop a chemical weapon to literally destroy the other side and give the Germans the absolute win. And they were getting ready to sign a peace treaty, and he's all like, hey, give me a day or two, and we'll own the fucking world. And they're like, nope. And he's like, yup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like,
he was a very evil person.
Very first time I recall seeing this guy was that stupid 30 Days a Night movie
Oh, yeah.
When you see the trailer and he's like, no, God. I'm like, yeah, this guy's a fucking monster.
That's right. I forgot about that. He's a complete monster.
Then you watch that movie and you're like, this movie's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But that guy himself, in every movie I've ever seen him in, he just has an evil presence.
He's a really good bad guy.
Yeah.
He just seems like not a guy that
you want to fuck with.
Yeah.
I think he'd make a really good sitcom dad.
It's kind of the other way, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he could probably do a lot of things. But yeah, he was another one who was just a perfect casting for this role.
Can I just say that, like, he did nothing for me at all?
Really?
I just was like, eh, I don't care.
You don't like that guy, huh?
I generally think he's all right, but I wasn't like, oh, man, this guy's killing me. I was like, eh, I don't care about this guy.
You were probably just too sleepy, Captain. I get up at 4 in the morning.
No, I was wide awake this entire movie, but I'm not saying, oh, man, he dragged that movie down for me. Like, he was completely inconsequential as far as I was concerned. Like, you could have replaced him with Jim Carrey, and I wouldn't have really cared either way.
Slow down, son.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like...
I think he was good. What's next?
What's next? I guess, do we just ramble on about how amazing Gal Gadot was again, or do we...
I mean, we actually didn't really, ever.
Well, we have off camera.
Yeah.
Because we're not on camera right now.
At all, right.
But yeah, well, like I said, she's probably the greatest... the best casted role since the original Iron Man. I mean, not that they've all not been good, but I mean, I don't think I'll ever be able to picture anyone else as Wonder Woman again.
Yeah, and I think in the review I even put that if you liked her in the Batman vs Superman, then you don't even know what you're talking about because she was horrible by comparison of how good she is in this movie. Like, she's that good.
I don't know. I still really like Chris Evans as Captain America.
I didn't say I didn't.
I'm just saying, he is always going to be Steve Rogers to me.
Oh.
Yeah, he was another one that was really, really, he's high on the list.
But he came 3 years after Iron Man. That's why I'm just throwing it in there.
But still. But yeah.
They're definitely. And I don't hate to say it. Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool was always pretty good.
Oh, no, absolutely. But that
We're not saying there's any bad. We're not saying.
We're not saying everyone else is bad. I'm just saying, like, you couldn't have picked a better person to play Wonder Woman.
Right.
And Danny DeVito as the Incredible Hulk was horrible.
That would have been amazing, I think. Pretty
I would have took it.
Actually, right? I was going to say...
First time he's chugging beers like in Always Sunny.
To be serious, Edward Norton as Bruce Banner was just eh. But you could just tell
He was just there for a paycheck.
Yeah, he was like, oh, God, I hope I don't have to do another one of these. Like, he did not look at all like he was, I want this role. He looked like, oh, God, I just need to pay my stupid water bill fine.
Yeah, when they landed on Mark Ruffalo, that was lucky, I think. And
yeah, I mean, if he doesn't really like the role, he's doing a good job of faking it because he looks like he really has the idea of what a Bruce Banner should be like.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, and then I liked. I thought Chris Pine was good.
Yeah, I have no like previous. Experience with Star-Lord, so I mean, for all I know, Star-Lord could have been Arnold Jackson, and I would have been like, oh, he was pretty good.
I'm talking about Chris Pine in the movie we're talking
about. Oh, I'm thinking of Chris Pratt. Never mind. Well, Steve Trevor is the same thing. Like, you could have put...
Yeah.
You could have
I think as an actor for... I think he was a good pick to keep this movie, because he's one of those guys now that they can have a lot of funny lines without being... cheesy funny. You know what I mean? The delivery is it's normally good by him. You know what I mean? It was... He does a lot of it in Star Trek, where, you know, there's just dialogue lines. Well, that's also... what's his name? Carl Urban being awesome, too, because
He's pretty good.
I still think he's the best cast thing in the history of casting, honestly. Yeah, anyways. Well, when we do the next Star Trek... I think we'll talk about him for 2 hours.
Did we do the last one?
No, I don't think so. We could probably do that.
What do you mean?
We never did
Star Trek. 3.
We never did that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Honestly. We should watch it again because I only saw it once.
I have it on Amazon. I've watched it like all the time.
Well, I mean, I'm only saying because when I saw it in the theater, I'm pretty sure it was $5. I'm pretty sure I bashed the shit out of it. But
what? No, you didn't. Well, you liked it.
Wonder Woman wasn't even in it.
Not really.
Really?
That's why I'd like to watch it again.
We're gonna get bashed anyway
thought it was just there was just way there was a lot of cheese in that movie.
Really? Well, Velveeta did sponsor. Movie?
Yeah,
I don't think
we'll talk about it when we watch it again and we do a podcast.
Now you
my interest is peaked.
I feel intimidated because a lot of people hate Into Darkness, and I really like that movie.
Well, that's what we're talking about right now, isn't it?
No, the one after. The one with the lady with the white face?
Yeah, the that's alien. The one I'm talking about.
That's not Into Darkness.
Oh.
That's Beyond.
Who the hell doesn't like Into Darkness?
A lot of people. A lot of Trek.
You just said you didn't like Into Darkness.
I thought it was the latest one.
I like all three of them.
Dude, we're literally having a who's on first, so let's get back to Chris Pine in Wonder Woman.
All right, so Gal
Chris
Gadot
Pine was William not Shatner as...
Chris Pine, he Captain was... Captain Kirk. Yeah.
No, I just... I thought he helped out a lot, and I thought he didn't... I think he was the right pick not to steal anything from the lead character, which he didn't, and I don't think that his intent was, because that's what people are like, oh, you gotta have a male. You know, it's the movie's not starring Chris Pine. He is the supporting actor. You know what
he
I mean?
He's a supporting actor, and again, she does everything on her own.
Right, and the movie doesn't focus around him in any way, shape, or form. It focuses around her and her agenda and
her liberal agenda.
Yeah, what she needs to do to stop this war. And even a lot of the times that the whole bunker scene comes from her telling him, like, hey, P.S., like, you guys can just go ahead and keep going then, because I'm staying right here and I'm about to suit up. So
see, here's the thing.
And that was a pretty big scene leading up to one of the better action scenes.
That literally was just Patty Jenkins saying she wants to remake Paths of Glory.
Could be. She did a fantastic job.
She shouldn't remake Paths of
Glory. Here's the deal. Though. I can't wait for the Blu-ray or DVD, whatever you want to call it, the 4K, Betamax. The Betamax,
right?
The Laserdisc, so I can see the special features, because I'm really kind of curious as to how much her stunt double did and how much she did.
And how much
considering
CGI.
She's an Israeli military, I'm going to go ahead and say she probably did 70% at least.
Well, yeah, she's Israeli military. She's a martial arts expert, apparently.
If she wasn't, she is now, because
and
she was looking pretty good.
Well, I just looked up, you know, her stunts in the movie, and she did have a stunt double, and the article was all about her stunt double did a lot of the, you know, a lot of the stunt. So it's just...
It's possible.
Well, I'm not saying she didn't,
also can't have... I'm not saying that she's not tough, but sometimes shit happens. You know, a movie like this... It's not some Tom Cruise movie where this crazy bastard can just, you know, do whatever he wants. This movie needed to be done for DC. They couldn't fuck around with Gal accidentally breaking her fucking arm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about that she can't do stuff.
No, I know.
But yeah, if I was the guy and I was like, you look great, that's awesome, but you ain't jumping off this building, I got to get this movie out.
CGI, son.
Yeah, not to mention. I know that, but... Stunt.
Not to mention, she went from this straight to Justice League, which is coming out in like 6 months.
Right. So you know, in pre-production when this was still in production. Like, imagine if she broke her ankle.
On that note, I would like to see an Aquaman movie before Justice League comes out.
I literally think Jason Momoa is going to destroy it. I think he's going to.
I agree.
I think he's going to be.
Just based on the 30 seconds you
I can't
see
even
trailer,
tell that,
like,
that newest Justice League trailer that we saw today, which I saw on Friday and you probably saw on Friday.
I did not see it. Actually.
Really? Oh.
I feel like a lot of
I mean, I'm sure you've seen it by now anyways, but it's a little more in-depth than the other ones previous, and Momoa has more, not more, he's got like two more lines that he says, but that just like a bat. I dig it. Like, that's like the best... and just watching, have you watched him like on TV, like on YouTube and stuff, like doing like his workout or like chugging a beer and throwing axes at boards and shit?
No.
Literally, you need to watch this guy on YouTube.
Well, here's the thing.
You're going to love him.
Wonder Woman is, by all accounts, a smash hit, critically and money-wise. If Justice League does really well, which I have a feeling it's going to, especially now that Joss Whedon's involved, and Joss Whedon's doing Batgirl, and if Aquaman does really well, now we've got ourselves a horse race, because DC is officially going to be in the game for real.
Well, to be honest, I mean, and I'm not going to say it's running its course, but Marvel's running out.
Marvel, they actually said they have no clue what they're doing next.
Yeah,
they're
like,
literally out of ideas.
To me, to be honest, I mean, I find it... I still can't believe that we're already talking, like, Avengers Infinity War. Like, that's the end. Like, what are you going to start doing? You're going to have to go back to Netflix and start doing Street Level Justice, because...
They're hoping that Inhumans could get some... They're hoping to get mileage out of Inhumans.
I don't know that it is. I love Inhumans, but
I don't.
Do we need to go have this conversation again?
Which one?
They literally took their worst-selling book and turned it into the biggest movie ever.
I know.
They have plenty of characters you probably don't even know.
We all know that. But what I'm saying is they're coming to the. I mean, there is no final battle after the Infinity. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, 10 years ago when they started, they probably thought this was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, so they're kind of. I think. If they don't start staggering some shit or coming up with new dudes, they have to delay their production. I mean, they do have the new Spider-Man, so they're going to be able to do stuff with that.
Here's what's going to happen. After the Infinity War stuff, they're going to put Marvel on pause for a minute while they concentrate pretty heavily on Star Wars. Then they're going to bring the two together.
Well, I would actually literally hate that.
I would actually not be that into it either. Because then at that point it would be... You know, the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I just finished the second part of Green Lantern meets Star Trek, and if they made that movie, I am first in line.
Well, so just kind of circle back to the whole DC thing. Aside from the fact...
DC Con with a red ring.
Aside from the fact that DC's getting started, they haven't even touched on their secondary or third string characters. They've got the entire Vertigo line. They haven't even tapped into yet.
They can dovetail into all that. Some of their Vertigo stuff is actually doing good. Like that, I still watch iZombie every week. I mean,
I was thinking more,
actually not that bad. I've been watching.
I was thinking more like their Swamp Things, their Constantine.
Yeah, well, that's but yeah,
Brother
but
Power.
But they use a lot of these. A lot of those characters have been brought in on TV and have tracked decently. Maybe not. Well, but decently. I'm to be honest,
the
I'm difference actually
between well and decent.
Well is good enough to keep it going. Decent is we're probably going to dump this thing after next season. You know what I mean? So if it's something's doing well, which you know, certain characters, that's why like on the current season of Supergirl, they have different things going on. They brought in characters that lots of characters that you wouldn't have known. I mean, well, obviously, most people do know who Martian Manhunter is, but, you know, they had Mon-El in there all season, who is in a lot of comics. Obviously, he doesn't have his own because you haven't heard of him, but he's a person that, and he is, I guess what I'm saying is they do bring out a lot of, like, DC, I think, actually brings out a lot more in TV so far than anybody else has, because even, you know, even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any other Marvel shows like the Netflix one or whatever, they don't really bring up a ton of characters where these DC TV shows actually, I mean, they bring them in and out, especially, obviously, villains. They're just, I mean, they've run through every villain they have just on Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow. Which, FYI, I'm spoiling something right now. Deathstroke's back. Like, the show just got badass again. That guy is... I love that guy.
They're trying to get that into a show of its own.
If they could, they brought him back. Well, I don't know what you know about it, but long story short, he ended up in the Clink, and then
the Clink.
He goes back, and he needs him, and he's off the
grid.
No, the remember that serum that made him crazy, and he started killing everybody.
Yeah,
Deathstroke.
Yeah,
he's like that's out of his system now, so he's back to like. Regular dude Deathstroke, if there is such a thing. So he's actually like they seem to be transitioning him into the character that's currently in the comics, which would be super awesome.
See, when you said Clink, I was thinking there was going to become an Arrow Hogan's Heroes crossover at some point.
There could. But no, I think I guess the point of all that was just that DC has a lot of awesome secondary characters that I think need to be touched on.
Word.
Well, let's keep it in the mic there next time.
Yep.
And Wonder Woman nailed it.
No, we're talking DC. It's all the same.
No, I know.
We're just talking depth of character and story and library versus the other.
Correct.
Which one is.
I feel like that could be a whole other show.
Unless they dig out Moon Knight.
Probably should one of these days. Actually, that'd be a great character.
If they dig out Moon Knight, now we have a horse race again.
So now it's just a greyhound race?
No, I feel like DC's got momentum. If they can keep it going, now it gets weird in a good way.
What do they have that's after Justice League directly?
Aquaman and the Flash, which honestly I don't care if they make a Flash movie. I don't feel like it's necessary with the show.
We're gonna have to see how good this kid is in this one.
I'm sure he'll be fine, but I think, Brian, I agree. You already have the show. People are more than familiar with the Flash. You can bring him in to the team movies.
What I'm wanting is a Doom Patrol movie.
You'll never see that.
There was plans for one like 10 years ago. And Superman.
Yeah, who was going to make it? Trauma?
What do you think? Do you think they bring a Hal Jordan?
Probably. Or do you need to.
Or do you think they go with somebody else? Like,
I think they do a Green Lantern. Characters? I think they do a Green Lantern team-up movie. Do John Stewart, Kyle Rayner, Hal Jordan do the whole thing?
Yeah, but I don't know that you want to introduce the entire Green Lantern universe.
Why not?
Isn't that, it's just too busy.
But you'd have
to keep it segregated from the Justice League for a long, long time.
If they do the Green Lantern the way they did Guardians of the Galaxy, that will work.
I don't know, man. Green Lantern's just that's a tough one, I think. And not that they ruined the first one by any means, but
again, I think
that's
the three
tough,
people sitting here probably like it better than anybody else.
It's a shitty movie. Yeah. But it's really good for a shitty movie.
No, it's a really good crappy movie for sure.
It's a strong 6.5.
Six-ish.
Five. This podcast has gone so into the cavern of doom right now.
Well, it's all DC shit.
Let's talk about Next Friday and Ice Cube's performance.
There's a lot of stuff. You know, DC's been under so much fire, and they've had so many horrible movies and bad movies and great movies now, in my opinion, and it's just they're all over the board, and this one is obviously super awesome. But, again, I love Batman vs. Superman. 90% of America hates that movie more than anything. I like Suicide Squad. 80% of America hates that movie.
I think more people hate Suicide Squad than Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, probably. But everybody, anybody that's never picked up a DC comic or a comic book in general hates Batman vs. Superman. Like, my dad just said he watched it. He's like, yeah, I don't really like it. Like, why? He's like, well, you know, Batman was like a bad guy or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. So, watch your mouth, old man. We literally just had this conversation like 45 minutes ago. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, Batman, you know, Wonder Woman's in that one. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I didn't really like that movie. I'm like, why? Well, you know.
I don't know.
What are you talking about? Yeah, you know, like, Batman's like a bad guy or whatever. I'm like, yeah. He's a vigilante. I mean, it's kind of
his thing.
It's in the name. You know, that's... It's not, you know, he's not a police officer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he does what's needed.
It'd be awesome if he had a patch, though.
It would be kind of awesome.
Filling out paperwork.
I feel like it's going to be a comic strip in the making.
Yeah, right. So
Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Let's just number this and put these people out of their misery for this.
Yes.
Only saw it once. I don't see any of the bullshit that people were complaining about. Preliminary, I'll probably watch it a few more times, maybe think whatever, but I'm at a 9 easily. I was going to go higher, but I think I'll stick with a 9 until I see it again.
I'm higher.
Damn it.
I will say
look at the website.
Worst stuff in this movie, the worst things in this movie are still really good. And those are, like I said, the final battle to me stepped down thematically from the battlefield scene, which kicks so much fucking ass, I can't even fucking put it into words.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah.
To me, like, no...
But that final battle scene's only bad in this... Like, if that was the final battle scene of any other movie, it'd be awesome. It's good. Yeah, I think this movie was just too good for its own good in the beginning.
Yeah, in a normal movie, that final battle is a strong B. But in this one, I was like, wow, man, that's kind of meh. Because after she literally just took fucking, like, 75 tons of bullets in her face and just deflected it all,
mm-hmm.
I was like, you can't top that. And like I said, there was a couple of moments where the CGI was noticeably...
Yeah, there was...
Last generation, where I was like, what the fuck are they doing with the Apple IIe? Well, get the goddamn iMac out.
And it was so weird because some of the other CGI, you're like, man, that looks amazing. And then the other one, you're like, oh my god, is that a cartoon? Like, I literally thought I was watching Roger Rabbit.
Well, there's a couple.
There's one where her mom spins off the horse.
Yes.
Right in the beginning.
Super noticeable. Like, oh. The horse runs away, and you're like, she's definitely got three dimensions. That horse is on a fucking screen behind her.
Yeah, right.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, that.
But it's so short, you're like,
It was quick.
I was just like, I'll reserve judgment. And then it was over. I'm like, yeah, you know what? The fucking CGI in Lord of the Rings sucks ass too by today's standards, and I still love
and
that
the
movie,
scene.
So
and again, it didn't break the scene. It didn't like. I was like, oh jeez, and I got up and walked out.
Only somebody like sitting at this table is gonna notice. Like your average moviegoer is gonna be like, oh my god, she did it back above a horse. I'm like, that was not a horse.
Yeah, there was a couple of those where
that was some rope and a picture of a horse behind her.
No, there was
noticed that a leg was missing.
There was only a few of those where it was like that, and not to be overly nitpicky again. There's at the very end. I don't know if you noticed, but I just did. But again, I saw it twice. When she's holding the lasso of truth on Ares, she's holding it like she's holding a 2-inch piece of lumber, and there's just a little rope CGI'd in her hands. You know what I mean? So it's
that I did.
It's literally like this. So her hand's like this, holding the rope.
Like she's putting out a fire?
Yeah, like she's holding a fucking fire hose. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and now when you see it the next time you ever see this movie, you're never going to not see it again.
Oh, that's going to make it an 8.9 for me then.
It was horrible.
I'm going to give it a 9.
Not horrible, but...
Like I said, for me, all those little nitpicky things aside, this was the most epic movie of this kind since The Avengers, or maybe even The Dark Knight for me.
Yeah, I think it's.
But I'm gonna stick with Avengers because that movie was just satisfying from beginning to end, and even with the little snippety things, like the awesome shit in this movie is so awesome. I was just like, I know. She could have been running around in fucking running shoes for like a half a scene. I'd have been like, I don't care.
Yeah, this movie does have so much good, like that's for sure. Yeah, I'm actually. On the site, I put it at a 9.25, which rounded itself up to a 9.3, and I'm going to stick with that for right now. I actually kind of want to go with a 9.5, which is pretty much the highest I'll ever rate anything, ever.
I was actually going to go higher, but I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll stick with what I got.
I think if you see it again, I think you're going to like it more. I think I liked it more, but I'm going to stick to my guns.
For me, it's easier to just give something a 9 than to give something a 10 and listen to you cry about it.
Oh, I will fucking destroy you. But no, I think it was better, but the second time around I did notice more things that I didn't like. But to be honest, I was kind of being a dick and looking for the things I didn't like because I already know the stuff I like, and I forgot some of the things I liked, which was super fun, like when she walked out of the store with her sword and shield in her hands and was trying to get through the revolving door.
You know what I was going to say, too? There was one shot where I sort of felt like, man, that's her stunt double. That's not her.
Now you think it might be?
For like a split second, it looked like the wrong face. And I was like, I wonder. I mean, I don't know. But
and I'm not kidding. How hot is Gal? I mean, we can say it. It's fine. She's super hot. I mean, crazy hot.
9.5.
Yeah. I mean.
Yikes.
Out of 9.
Legit, she's I mean, yeah, I don't know. They do a great job of making her look plainly the most beautiful girl in the world with, you know what I mean? It's pretty good. So yeah.
Sorry, Crystal.
She knows. She knows.
Well, all right, there you go. There you go. That's our Wonder Woman podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we fumbled through it.
That was quick.
Yeah, 54 minutes of quickness.
Right. That's it? I was thinking we're like an hour
it felt
15.
Like, that felt like 3 hours.
It felt like the final scene.
Yeah, I was gonna say anyone who was listening, it felt long to me. So,
yeah. All right. Well,
I am sorry.
And let us know what you think. Head over to the site, rate it, write your own review. Tweet us. Let us know. You can tweet me at XorsonX.
I'll be happy with a site rating. Just click the button.
How's it going? Why do you gotta hesitate? Just do it.
Because I gotta get it ready.
How's that?
Yeah. Well, whatever. You can find me at XorsonX.
I put a lot of effort.
Find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Mike at Review and Roast. You can find us on Instagram at Review and Roast and Facebook Review and Roast and ReviewandRoast.com. And you can listen to all of our other stuff at ComicRoast.com. Other than that, have a good week.
Yay.